start with prayer.
Let's go deep.
Okay. Lord, I just pray that everyone listening, those that are online and those here in person, would be listening, that are listening, would be blessed by your word tonight, or whenever they listen to it, whether it's not tonight. Lord, I just pray that the message would go deep into their hearts, and Jesus, that you would speak directly to each one. You can do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight is Jesus Gets Me During Change. So before we start, I always like to do a little humor. It's going to shake off the day. So I have two quotes that are a little bit humorous on change. The first one is, change is inevitable except from a vending machine. Isn't that true? Okay, but this is my favorite. When life is stressful, do something to lift your spirits. Go for a drive. Go for 2,000 or 3,000 miles away. Maybe change your name. Isn't that good? I thought of maybe taking a short ride, but I've never gone that far. All right, let's turn back to the spiritual side. And the scripture for tonight is Isaiah 43:18-19. And it says, do not call to mind the former things. Pay no attention to the things of old. I'm about to do something new. Even now it's coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Navigating change is one of the biggest challenges we can face in our lives, especially in this season. We have had a lot of change going on, and knowing how to navigate that can be really helpful. It's one of the biggest challenges that we face. Change means that one thing is ending and another is starting. I think sometimes we just think about the one that's ending and we forget that something new is coming. A philosopher, a Greek philosopher, said the only thing that is constant is change. And so we really need to know how to be flexible and go with change. Most of us know this from experience, even though we tend to resist change. We all tend to resist change. Why do we do that? We tend to resist change because it requires us to grieve losses and to navigate countless unknowns. So for those two reasons, we tend to resist change. In Scripture, it says in Ecclesiastes, and I won't read the whole Scripture, but it says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. You know, there's a time for this, there's a time for that. And so God's already told us up front there's going to be change. Letting go of what was can be difficult. Even when the change is welcome, it's still hard to let go of things that are familiar and predictable. There's a lot of comfort to be found in predictability, and who doesn't like comfortable, right? We like comfortable. After all, the alternative can feel chaotic and out of control. I believe part of the reason this happens is a failure to grieve the loss that the change brings. We just stuff it and keep moving. So I have some, let me just bring up an example. Even if you gain a promotion, let's say you're promoted at work, promoted at church, with that promotion comes loss. Even though it may be a positive, your relationships can change. The break room can change when you go to work. Lots of change can happen, even in a good thing. And even though change is difficult, it's often integral in the challenging yet incredible adventure of following God. It's just, if you look at Scripture, it's just part of what happens in your life. So I have some top tips, okay, to maneuver this thing. So in that Scripture, Isaiah 43, the very first part of it says, do not call to mind the former things. We probably all know people that still talk about their high school days and wish they were back there, right? Or the last pastor. They just can't get beyond the last pastor. Or the last boss. They just want to go back there where it was comfortable. Success in the future is only possible to the extent that you avoid rehashing all those events of the past, even if they were good. Many a person's been derailed by the good old days. I hear people all the time my age talk about the good old days in high school, and I'm like, I don't think so. Yeah. Not mine. Maybe yours. My life has only gotten better, not worse. I'm hanging on to the good. I'm going for the new. Okay, so we want to get rid of rehashing the old. All right, number two, top tip, I'm about to do something new. God said, I'm about to do something new. So we're to focus our energy on that which is coming. Why spend energy on yesterday that's not going to do anything for today or anything for the future? And when you're constantly, your brain is going, you're wasting all that thought, all that creativity on something that's not going to do anything for you. So what is the replacement for the old? He doesn't just take away, but he will give you something new. So what you can do is a really good question to ask him is, what is it that you want to give me? I mean, I never thought to ask that in the beginning or the middle or near the end of my loss. That could help me get through it a lot quicker, is what do you have for me? Because I could really use it right now to hang on, right? So what we want to do is catch the vision of the new and remind yourself where you're going so that you constantly go, okay, I'm going to be okay. Recently, the Lord said to me, I need you to speak to the future. Declare what I've told you is going to happen. And I'm like, oh, because I tend to, you know, just analyze everything. He said, let go of it and speak to the future. Now, the third part of that scripture says, God says, I will make a way. So part of that spinning we do with our brain is because we're trying to analyze it and figure it out. We're trying to be one step ahead of God and everybody else. And we don't have to fix it. We don't have to replace what was lost. We just ask him what he wants to do and cooperate. Just obey. And just forget all the worrying part and wasting all that energy. Okay, those were the top three. So I have four more, all right? Dealing with change. This is my favorite. Number four, take time to grieve or process the loss. So there's a song, but unlike Pastor Matt, I'm not planning to sing it, okay? He can if he wants. It's called Let It Go, okay? That'd be my last talk. So I want to encourage you to take time to grieve the ending of what was. Sometimes there's a crisis. We get through something, but we move on, but it's still hanging there. It's still in the back of our mind, and we're not okay because we didn't talk to God about it. Change equals loss. Some things don't happen without cost. That's very clear in Scripture. There's a cost. You cannot enter the new without losing the previous thing. Are you prepared to be an example of paying a price? If you see someone else paying the price for being a Christian, you could encourage them instead of saying, you know, just ignore it or deny it or let me pray or bless you. You know, you could say, it's part of it. How can I help you get through this? God wants us to go through the pain of change without being crippled. And how many do we know that by the change they get crippled and they never move on? Yeah, but God exchanges. If you can remember, God exchanges, okay? Now, here's what grieving looks like when you're processing, or should look like, maybe. Number one, forgive whoever was responsible for the loss, whether it was intentional or unintentional. Some people accidentally cause a loss to you, and they didn't mean it, but sometimes it's intentional. That's a lot harder to forgive. Could have been a parent, a leader, a friend, a boss. Could be yourself, that you caused it yourself. I had a person recently I was seeing, and he said, I mean, he's been out of high school 18 years, and on Facebook, this guy he went to high school with messaged him with this really long message, and he said, I just wanted you to know how much I hated you in high school, and here's all the reasons. It was really long. He called me, and he said, this has really upset me. Can we talk? And I said, is any of it true? He goes, no. And I said, then just let it go. He's got bitterness. He's stuck somewhere. I'd pray for him that he get past it. So forgiving yourself or whoever it was is the first step. Then saying, giving God the loss. And that is so easy. If you have a loss, all you have to do is just say, God, I offer you the loss. I was never designed to carry this thing. And so I give you the loss. And the way you can tell if it actually went is if you think about that situation again, you will feel it actually left if you forgave. If you didn't forgive, it sort of sticks there. Then the third thing is ask God to restore to you or your family or whoever what was taken. Isn't that cool? I mean, God can restore. We can't. And as long as we don't forgive and we fuss, we never get it back. So if you dread grieving, because sometimes we're just like, I just don't want to go there, I don't want to think about it, we can ask the Lord a question. What lie do I believe that I can't complete the grieving process? Or what lie do I believe that I'm dreading this and I'm resisting this process? And that could get you past it right there. All right, the fifth one is celebrate the good. Take the lessons that you've learned from the loss and take them with you. So from whatever happened that was wrong, weed out all that stuff, process it, forgive, get rid of it. Take the lesson you learn and bring it forward with you. I always journal those to go, those are gold. Those are wisdom. Those are, and you can help other people with those. If you're not sure and you've had a life, this whole life that's been stuck, what I get people to do is divide their life into segments, like 0 to 7 or 1 to 0, 1 to 13 or something like that, and then 13 to whatever. And then look at that portion of your life and say, where do I see the enemy at work in my life in those years? And you can usually, it's easy, it's a sentence or two. And then you ask, where do I see God at work in my life from 1 to 7? And so if you don't have a where is God, I see God in my life, then that one means that hasn't been processed and you need to process it so you can move on. So you should have segments in your life that you have, this is where the enemy was and this is where God was. That's a testimony right there. Okay, number 6, seek truth. Romans 1:25 says they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Sometimes we accuse him of being unjust, unfair, but we haven't really asked him his side of the story. Sort of like talk to the hand. So when I see people and they can't hear God, I'll say, well, why don't you just close your eyes and let's ask him this. And I can just see that wall sometimes that they've built up because they didn't know what to do with it or they're refusing to do something with it. So we want to ask him for truth because he will give you truth. Now, truth in John 8:32 that says, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you look at that word truth, it means reality. If you know reality, it will set you free. And the opposite of that word is illusion. In the original, it says it's illusion, and that's what we do is we spin illusions instead of wanting to know reality. We really don't want to know. We just, you know, want to go on with life. Sometimes we need a revelation encounter, a truth encounter. Truth came to Paul in Acts 9 when he had a direct encounter with God, hearing his voice and seeing his vision. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, similar situation. John 16:13-14 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is coming. So we don't have to worry. God's got it. He's going to tell us the part we need to know. Now, if you don't hear anything else tonight, okay, if nothing else grabs you, I've been doing prayer ministry for many, many, many years, and I had never heard this. I was doing some research, and I came across a lady, and let me just read what she said. I transcribed it, and number 7 is change your mindset to embrace change. Okay, here's the mindset. She said they took her 2.5-year-old daughter, 2.5, to the emergency room for what they thought was a fracture. She and her husband came out with a diagnosis of leukemia. Now that's a change. That would shift your world right there, right? So she just cried and cried and cried. She'd been crying for 3 days. So she's sitting out in front of the hospital on the steps just crying. And someone came up to her and said this, emotional pain only lasts 20 minutes. The rest is all self-inflicted. You need to get up and help someone because someone needs you right now. I was like, excuse me? 20 minutes? I thought, I've been beating myself up for years. All right. Now, I thought, is that true? So I did the research. And guess what? It's not true. Bummer, right? But I did the research, and the research is better. Okay? Here we go. An emotion, this is the quote, an emotion comes and goes quickly. Let the secret be out, an emotion technically, rather biologically, lasts only 90 seconds. So I'm thinking, I've pouted much longer than that, right? So let me read from the doctor that did the research at Harvard. When a person has a reaction to something in the environment, there's a 90-second chemical process that happens in the body. After that, any remaining emotional response is just the person choosing to stay in that emotional loop. I think I've read that thing 10 times and gone, what? What? So I thought, okay, probably need self-deliverance on self-pity or something else, you know? Or what's the lie I believe that I need to mourn this thing for a week, right? Over the years, I've gotten better because I've learned truth, but I'm like, wow, I don't have to waste all that energy. All right? That was good. All right, so we don't necessarily resist to the summary. I'm just going to summarize where we've been. We don't necessarily resist change. We subconsciously resist loss. So it's not the change that bothers us, it's the loss and the change that bothers us. So do we run into it or away from change? And what's the cost? Change is the new normal. I don't know if anybody's noticed but me. But I don't know that it's going to get better. I think we just need to be more flexible. I found a book. I was watching an interview, and they talked about a book, and I got it, but I haven't read it enough to know if it's safe, so I'm not going to tell you the whole title. But the name of the book was Anti-Fragile. And I thought, okay, that's good. If we could be anti-fragile, I'll let you know, part two. Okay. So if change is the new normal, think about this. It's more painful than we would say, but avoiding it only creates more pain and it lasts longer. So it is painful to go through it. I tell people that are going through a horrible rape scene or some kind of a horrible thing that's happened to them, you know, we can do this in an hour and a half or less. I said, but you have to be willing to see it briefly or at least look at it from the outside. And they don't want to because they're afraid they're going to get stuck in that moment that happened again. But they've been stuck with it for how many years? 20 years? Already, and it's starting to leak, starting to leak. And if you just go through it, just who did it? Forgive them. What lie do I believe? You believe it's your fault, and you just go through it, you're done. So that's better pain than remembering it and putting the lid on it forever. Okay. When we think the change is too hard, we must watch out for wrong responses. Because then we're thinking it's unfair and it's unjust and, you know. So our responses that are ungodly are usually the sin of self-determination. I will just use my powers. I can do this all by myself. I'll go get through there, right? Or the sin of taking control. How many of us manipulate things to make it work, right? And then the sin of autonomy, not needing anybody's help. I am fine. I don't need anything. I will isolate. I am good. I'll live my life this way. Let me know how that works. Okay. Okay. We must learn to not take change so personal. I think we act like we're the only person it's ever happened to. I mean, at the time, it feels like it, right? It's like, yep, see, I'm the only one, and I'm dying here. We always think we're going to die. When something goes wrong, we're just, you know, and if I've learned to confront people, and I'll just say, so what's the worst thing that could happen? This, and I'll say, and if that happens, what's the worst thing that could happen? And then I'll say, so you're going to die, right? At the end, they don't know what to say, and I'll say, so you're going to die, right? And they go, oh, well, that's stupid. And so they said, well, I guess it's not too bad after all, right? Okay. So we don't need to learn not to take it so personal, because God knows what he's doing. So we have to stop being offended by everything. I think we watch too many Hallmark, Disney, you know, movies, and it all supposed to end well in 5 minutes. And God has a longer life plan than I was aware of, right? Matter of fact, somebody on my team gave me a word last night, walks up to me in my car, and I'm loading it, and he just looks at me, and he calls me, and he says, I got a word for you. I said, okay. He goes, God said, quit thinking about retirement. He's got something new. And I thought, you're cute. I'll ask for a confirmation on that one. Right? Yeah. He had thoughts of retiring, and at a freedom night, God told him that he's putting 2 rocket boosters on him to stop thinking about it. So this is payback, isn't it? Payback, right? Okay, now change can be made with resistance. You can do that. Not as much fun. Okay, we can do it with resentment and bitterness. And when you partner with resentment and bitterness, you put yourself out of peace. And that is no way to live. No way to live. If you've done that for just a day, it's not fun. And so what you can do is ask the Lord, just when you're not okay, just get quiet, get still, and say, where is my soul out of peace? What is causing my soul to be out of peace? And he will be happy to show you if you are willing to see it. Okay? Okay, so Jesus gets us during change. He creates change. Look at all the things he did with Egypt and, you know, the whole movement from Joseph all the way through. Everything was changed. They didn't like changing. They whined a lot, right? So God put that in there to show us that's not the way you do it, right? And look at the people who were brave and courageous, Caleb and Joshua, who didn't and just said, God said we could do it. Let's just do it. Okay, that's our example. He knows what we need, and he has what we need. Truth, some scriptures about truth. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So if we ask for truth, he will give us truth. Okay? Proverbs 3:5-6, he shall direct your paths. So if he's going to direct us, we just have to be still long enough, you know, to see that he turned the blinker on to know which way to go, right? And then Proverbs 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So God is working together every plot twist. When we hit one of those, he's working it all together for our good, even though we can't see it. And sometimes I think you have to be a little older. When you're young, you just don't see it yet. Older you get, the more you go, yep, that's where they're at, right there. Major transitions are often part of the greater story that God is unfolding. If you pull back and look, and not so detailed up close, you can be more objective if you say, what's going on and what's happening? I've done it years later and just gone back and said, you know, I never asked you about this, and it always bothered me. What do you want me to know about that? And he told me truth, and I went, gosh, I wish I had known that then. I would have cried a lot less. I would have cried a lot less. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Some things never change. Jesus never changes. He created us and he knows what we need. He's the rock. So Jesus gets us. He gets us during change. So, what I want you to do is just close your eyes for a minute and ask yourself, where did I fear change? Lord, where did I fear change and it turned out all right? I see some smiles and some heads shaking, like, yep. Isn't that comforting? You can hang on to that now. Or if you need more time, go home in your devotions and just sit down and ask God that. Where did I fear change? And it came out all right. Why did I waste all that energy? And then a year later, I ended up asking you anyway, right? So, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you to lay out our fears and resistance at your feet. When we're pressed down by fear and worry, remind us of your power and your grace. We don't want fear of change to hold us back. We choose right now to come out of agreement with fear of change. Fill us with your peace as we trust in you and you alone. We ask this in the name of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I just want to add, we got a couple minutes. I want to add this. I am a regular attendee of intercession on Wednesday. We intercede here from 7:30 to 8:30. So if you've not come, you're missing a bunch. So tonight, I'm not able to stay. I have somebody who has an issue that we need to deal with. So I'm going to go do that. So I'm asking that some of you at home, you still have time to get here. So would somebody come take my place? You don't have to pray out loud, we promise. Okay, but you can just come and agree quietly with the prayers that are being prayed up front. They do a little worship, so you've got time to get here before it starts. Hope to see you, and let me know that you did that.